On April 9, 2003, American troops entered Baghdad. The U.S.-led invasion had begun less than a month before. Now the Americans were about to take the center of the Iraqi capital, and there in Firdaus Square, a statue of deposed Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein was about to come down in front of a slew of TV cameras and reporters.
Jubilant seemed too mild a word for what you're seeing here.
Watching these amazing scenes of ordinary Iraqis, citizens with sledgehammers.
What is he doing? Oh, there we have it.
Furling an American flag.
You have to think that there are going to be some minds changed as a result of these incredible pictures.
But those pictures from Firdaus Square presented a distorted reality. A story in the current issue of The New Yorker dissects the images and how they came to be. The author of the story is Peter Maas, who is now in New York. Peter Maas, the title of the article is How the Media Inflated a Minor Moment in a Long War. Why was it important to you now, especially 8 years later, to study what you consider a minor moment?
It was important because this is an event about which a lot isn't known. Was this an authentic event? Was it a stage-managed photo op? I wanted to find out kind of what the truth was because there was really no consensus on that important point whatsoever. And more importantly, there was a long time right after Marines got into Baghdad when people thought this war was finished. And I wanted to know myself, where did the victory myth come from? And I really thought that the answers could be found by looking at Firdaus Square, at the falling of that statue, and figuring out what really happened and what the effect of that event was.
Well, you go into great detail in the article itself. We can't obviously replicate that right now, Peter, but I wonder how you went about figuring out what went on at the time, where the motivations were, when the media showed up, and as you say, that was key. And we should say that you were among the media who were there at Firdaus Square at the time.
I was what was known as a unilateral journalist. I had my own SUV that I had driven over the border on the first day of the invasion, and I'd hooked up with this battalion that, as luck would have it, was the one that took down the statue. So I was there when that happened. I obviously drew on what I had seen at the time and also the relationships that I'd established. I knew most of the Marines who were involved. I also knew a lot of the journalists who were involved, too. And so I basically spent quite a bit of time talking with everybody. What did you do? Where were you? Where did the flag come from? Whose flag was it? Why did it get up to the statue? The decision to take down the statue. Okay, whose idea was that originally? Who authorized it? And the answers to all these questions were really quite surprising because it turned out that there wasn't a grand conspiracy at all, that the military actually was just kind of, you know, winging it down on their way to Firdaus Square and at Firdaus Square. And to a large degree, the manipulation that was involved in this event wasn't the military's, it was the media's.
But what converged on Firdaus Square that particular day?
What converged there was that you had a large number of journalists at the Palestine Hotel. They'd been staying there during the war. You also had, as well, these Marines who were just coming in and rescuing, as it turned out, all these journalists, because actually the journalists and their editors back home were asking for the American military to come and protect the journalists at the Palestine Hotel. So it was a constellation of kind of chance factors that came together that created this iconic moment. And the problem with the coverage is that TVs, they go towards dramatic images. And so most of what American viewers saw on TV and saw in their newspapers the next day were tight shots of, you know, the Iraqis who were celebrating quite vividly. But if all you did was just kind of step back a few feet, you'd see that there were very few Iraqis there. And you'd also see a lot of journalists whose presence was, in a way, inciting the Iraqis. And this, however, wasn't portrayed to viewers and to readers. And so the result is that you get this feeling of great celebration at Firdaus Square, but it was actually a very, very small celebration that was magnified in kind of viewers' minds to mean that the whole country was celebrating like this and it was all over.
And then it takes on a life of its own. Before you know it, we hear the Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld talking to reporters. And let's hear now what he said.
The scenes of free Iraqis celebrating in the streets, riding American tanks, tearing down the statues of Saddam Hussein in the center of Baghdad are breathtaking. We're seeing history unfold, events that will shape the course of a country and potentially the future of the region.
So that again is Donald Rumsfeld. Peter, how did Secretary Rumsfeld and other members of the Bush administration use this moment in Firdaus Square?
They used it to portray what had happened in Iraq as the end of the war, as victory for America. And so this victory myth that the media helped create was used by the administration to kind of foster this policy of inattention towards Iraq, which was part of what let the insurgency grow to such a large and deadly extent.
Peter, just one more question. Hindsight, of course, is 2020. It's easy to look back and know how things unfolded, but no news organization really knows how events are going to be portrayed as they're covering them. So when you make the case that media coverage of this event basically gives rise to the false sense of how things were, isn't there also another argument that could be made that it's really impossible for news organizations not to cover something like this because they don't have the perspective of hindsight?
There were people on the ground in Baghdad that day, journalists, who were telling their editors, look, this statue falling is not the story. There's something very complex happening here. It's not over. And these journalists were told by their editors, forget about that. This is a celebration. We need more about this. So hindsight is 20/20, but there were people on the scene who said, look, this is the wrong thing to focus on because it's not over. And they were ignored.
Thank you very much, Peter Maas. His article, The Toppling, is in the current issue of The New Yorker magazine. Peter, thanks.
Thank you.